You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to yet another Locked On Wolves podcast. It is the two boys, Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure before we start anything else that you are checking out the at Locked On T Wolves Twitter account, at Locked On T Wolves. That's where you're going to go to shoot us questions, comments, and get in touch with us, because we really like seeing what you like about the show, what you enjoy, what you didn't enjoy, answering questions on the podcast. We'll give you a shout out on the show if you shoot us some questions. So make sure you're doing that. Also, make sure if you are hopping into your vehicle, yell at the smart speaker, your phone, play Locked On Wolves, and then you're not listening to something boring like the radio or music. You're listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. So that's definitely the better way to go about traffic and getting to work than anything else. Make sure you're doing that when you hop in your whip. All right, Trey, we have a fun idea. I believe you were the mastermind behind this, and I really, really like it. We're going to talk about tampering. We're not going to talk about LeBron James. So the first time ever, we're not going to talk about the Lakers. We're not going to talk about James. We're not going to talk about Magic Johnson. We're going to talk about Karl Anthony Towns. You want to explain to the people what we're going to try and do over the next 20-some minutes here?
Yeah, sure. So Karl Anthony Towns in this one, in this All-Star game he was just in, had the chance to really speak to a lot of these different players on his team, on the LeBron James-led All-Star team. And not just that, the Giannis team, a lot of these guys hung out together the night before the All-Star game, during the festivities, on Friday night as well, and during All-Star Day too. And a lot of them stayed after on Sunday night leading into Monday as well. So a lot of these guys get together, they hang out, and just like the Olympics teams of the past, a lot of it is just kind of recruiting. And so what me and Colin were thinking about doing was, talking about if Karl Anthony Towns could recruit anybody off this team, or vice versa, could he be recruited off this team? And of course, this isn't going to be some apocalyptic podcast where we talk about how it's all going to break down, LeBron James is going to get Karl Anthony Towns on the Los Angeles Lakers. It's not going to be that. However, there's been reports of guys like Bradley Beal who are pretty they're pretty adamant about trying to say that they're trying to get other guys to come to Washington. Literally the day after the All-Star game, he said, "I was trying to get guys to come to play with the Wizards." So with guys being more adamant like that, I would like to see something out of Towns to do the same, bring guys to Minnesota. And if he doesn't do that, then it's the opposite of the equation, which is somebody bringing him elsewhere. So it's just an idea. I think it'll be pretty fun.
Yeah, and it'll be an interesting way to I think just maybe add some pairings, throw some things out there. I don't think any of this is going to stick. And again, Towns is on a really long contract. A lot of these guys are on some pretty big contracts as well. Like, if you're looking at some of these guys on these teams, I mean, Bradley Beal is on a 5-year contract, Damian Lillard, a 5-year contract. So a lot of this stuff is kind of just speculation and having fun. Who maybe would be most susceptible to the sway or the pull of Towns and trying to, if he's recruiting anybody, who would realistically he try to go after. And some of it's a little more realistic than others, but hey, you know what, this is the All-Star break, we're continuing the fun a little bit, and so let's jump into this. My top contender right off the bat for him to try and talk into coming to the Timberwolves, try and maybe be accused of a little tampering, I thought was Damian Lillard. And I know that they'd have to actually work out a trade, but Damian Lillard's a little further into his contract. What I believe he has, was it 3 years left on his deal?
Yeah.
And so Towns would still have 2 years left on his deal when Damian Lillard became a free agent. If they don't trade for him, they definitely need point guard help. And I don't think, as much as I like Tyus Jones, I don't think that Tyus Jones can be the only point guard on your team, or can be the primary point guard on your team. And if you're looking at the Timberwolves, this actually works out perfectly because Damian Lillard would complement the game of not only Towns, but also of guys like Robert Covington, Dario Saric, a bunch of the younger pieces on this team, Josh Okogie. He would complement those guys and make them better, elevate them by stretching out the floor and giving them more space to work going to the basket or pulling defenders when they're shooting from deep. And I think that he would also be a good locker room presence for the Timberwolves. I think it'd be good to have another guy who is a veteran leader, but also somebody who's, because the Timberwolves have had a lot of veteran leaders, but they haven't had somebody of that caliber as a veteran leader.
No, I really like this one. I think this is a good idea. Damian Lillard, one of the best shooters in the game right now, frankly, one of the best players in the league. It's been argued that he could possibly surpass Russell Westbrook in this upcoming season. And some people actually think he's surpassed him this season. Maybe you even do. So there is like a lot of hype behind Damian Lillard, and I feel it. And I've seen it. I mean, in the All-Star game is just a good example. When he gets hot, he's probably the third best shooter in the league when guys get hot. When Steph and Clay are hot, I don't think there's anybody that's close to them, but I would say maybe Damian's got that third spot close to Durant. And I think that says a lot on his offensive end. And the defensive end, he's bulked up so much over the past two seasons that he's really found his own way at the point guard position. He said he watched a lot of Chris Paul highlights to try to figure out how to play more aggressive defense off the perimeter and the half court, because he felt that if he could play better perimeter defense, he wouldn't have to worry about the interior stuff. He'll let his big guys grind in there with like Nurkic. Which was a smart idea, which he's done over the past two seasons, and it hasn't affected his game. And it also says a lot that Damian Lillard can play the way he is with not a prototypical shooting guard next to him. Because if Damian Lillard had, say, like a Klay Thompson or a Bradley Beal or Chris Middleton next to him, I think that he would even be better. But because he has CJ McCollum, who's more of a combo pick-and-pop guard who needs the ball in his hand a little bit, he can't really... He's a good off-the-dribble shooter, but he really is so crafty when he has the ball in his hands for about 3 to 5 seconds there, and he really works on getting a shot off. If Lillard had a better shooting guard next to him, he'd be excellent, and I think this would be a really interesting move for Minnesota to make. I'm going to stick on the point guard route, too, because I'm going to go top to bottom, like meaning the best player that I think we could get, that Carlton Towns could bring here, to the worst player, even though they're still going to be good. The first guy I have is actually from Team Giannis on the other side of this. Like I said, all these teams are hanging out together before and after the All-Star game and during even, Kemba Walker. I think Kemba is going to be a free agent. He is definitely going to be a free agent this summer. He's noted that he wants to stay in Charlotte, but that's most guys who want to stay with their organization. He's currently making $12 million. He's 27 years old. He's gonna want to make a max contract this summer. So in order to even get a guy like Lillard via a trade or free agency, or to get Kemba this summer, or that Karl-Anthony Towns could presumptuously bring to Minnesota, they're going to have to trade some contracts. So obviously Andrew Wiggins is not on this team if this happens, right? Like Andrew Wiggins is traded this summer, and most likely a guy like Jeff Teague is not signing his player option, or he's traded elsewhere with first-round pick. And that's what I would do in order to get a guy like Kemba. Kemba Walker is that good this summer, and I would sign him to a max contract immediately to play with Karl-Anthony Towns. And Charlotte has shown that Kemba really wants to play with a true center, or a really good center at that, because they've tried to pick up every backup, middle tier center they could possibly have. I think they had six centers in their basketball teams at one point last season. He plays really well on the pick and roll around the center at the perimeter. I really like to watch Akembo, who's pretty much a watered-down Lillard, which is a really good player at this point. And that seems kind of rude to even say, but he's really had his moments of pure fire, and we've really never seen him with a really good basketball team. So he could just be as good as Damian Lillard. It's just difficult to tell. But I would love to see a Kemba Cat pick and pop, pick and roll all day long.
And that's the situation, too, where Kemba Walker, you think he would slide right into the Timberwolves system, because I think that he's a lot more in the vein of like a Derrick Rose, where it's not as much three-point shooting, right? He's going to be really getting to the basket. He's going to be driving. He's going to be finding a lane to get to the rack. And I think that is where you've seen, I mean, it's not the same type of game as Damian Lillard maybe, but you've seen that work with the Timberwolves, and you've seen them be really successful around really good Derrick Rose games. And he does a lot of that, where he's getting to the rim and driving to the basket and beating people off the dribble with speed. And this has been an all-time Kemba year, 24.9 points per game, the highest mark of his career. He's shooting 43.1% from the field, which is one of the better marks of his career, and he's shooting 20 times per game. That's the most shots he's ever taken in his career, and he's still averaging one of the more efficient seasons of his career. So really showing how good of a player he is this year. You know that he's a good player before, but really flexing this year in his contract year. So this, it's the time to do it. And again, that's the tough part about if you're the Timberwolves in your towns and you're telling guys, hey, you got to come over. And the tough part is that they don't really have any way outside of that to entice guys, because they still are in such a bad salary cap situation. And so they definitely need to move contracts around if they're actually going to pull any of this stuff off. But it is still interesting to think about. We're going to take a quick break for some sponsors, and I want to hear your take on a far outside the realm guy for the Timberwolves. But first, some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky, we've been talking about tampering and which guys Towns could try and bring over to the Timberwolves for a change. Going to give the Lakers a break from all the tampering talk. And I wanted to get your take on this one, Trey, because I got to say, Kyrie Irving, he's a free agent. He's got an option to go somewhere this summer, and it doesn't look like it's for sure going to be Boston anymore. And you had the videos over All-Star break of him talking, having some pretty intense conversations with Durant in the tunnel underneath the stadium, and you know that there's a possibility. There's this Knicks thing hanging out there over the top of this season for both Boston and the Knicks and the Warriors. All three of those teams are kind of caught up in this weird Knicks conversation that started the Porzingis trade. And it would just be so awesome. It would probably honestly be maybe the biggest win in Timberwolves history if they're able to somehow come along and Towns somehow talk Kyrie Irving into coming to the Timberwolves. Now, I know that's not going to happen. That's not really in the realm of realistic possibility, but that would be the biggest win for the Timberwolves in Minnesota Timberwolves history. And that would, I think, instantly make them a contender.
Yeah. If Kyrie Irving is on this Timberwolves team with Karl-Anthony Towns, they're instantly a contender. You know what? I might go off on a tangent real quick about Kyrie Irving. It is so frustrating to watch Kyrie Irving this season. Even last year when he was little, he was banged up, and listen to analysts harp on how he is not the same player, or that he's maybe not a top five point guard in the NBA. He's playing with a team that is stacked in Boston right now. He has the job of a natural true point guard, which he isn't, so he's had to try to be one. That's why he's upped his assist numbers this year. He's been facilitating more. They've asked him to be a true point guard on a team with a bunch of different wings, a lot of good bigs, and he's having to spread the ball all across the floor. And he's never really had to do that before. And when he played with LeBron James in his career, he was playing off the ball a lot because LeBron likes to play point forward. And before that, he was trying to lead a team that was essentially a G League team. So this is a new experience for him. And I just hate this rhetoric that maybe Kyrie's dumbed down or his game isn't the same. I've listened to Open Floor a lot, and Ben Golliver is adamant about how Kyrie Irving maybe isn't the point guard that we all think he is. I couldn't disagree more. I think that, and Andrew Sharp's talked about this too, he couldn't disagree more either. And I think a lot of it has to do with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, the hype around some of these players and how good they are and how great they are. And I'm not trying to live in the moment or per game. I'm not trying to judge a guy by his best moments or his worst moments. But Kyrie in the playoffs is unlike any other player. And I would even argue that Steph Curry is probably one of my favorite players of all time. And you could argue that Kyrie has been a better player in the playoffs than Steph. And Steph's by far going to finish as probably the number two or number one best point guard of all time. And that's saying a lot, right? That's how much Kyrie steps up in these clutch moments. And that can't be put on a stat sheet, unfortunately, as much as I would like to put on there. I know you can range guys off percentages in the fourth and the bottom 2 minutes, whatever you'd like to do. But the kind of will that Kyrie Irving brings to the bottom 5 minutes of a game, you can't really put that dude's heart on a statue. And that's where I'm going with that. And so when you ask the question, does that make us a playoff contender? I think that makes us a championship contender. I think Kyrie Irving is a top 10 player in the league. And if you get a top 10 player in your league with a guy who has the potential of being a top 10 player in Karl Anthony Towns, you know, there is no ceiling, really. And I think that is, and even though Minnesota, that's a shoot for the stars, they have to make a lot of, you know, front office moves to make that happen. It's an interesting topic because it really maybe shows how great Towns is and maybe how much this front office should be fighting for a top 10 player, Colton. And if listeners think this conversation is getting a little too crazy, don't. Because we're talking about Cat potentially being like a shooting Karl Malone 4 or 5 years from now, right? Like an Anthony Davis prototype 5 years from now, and or even 3 years from now. So that's how good Cat can be. So trying to pair him next to a top 10 player isn't far off in the realm of possibilities. And if people watch that All-Star game, the best dunk was from Towns. I mean, you could argue it's Giannis, but that was really just a really cool pass from Steph. I mean, he got his head over the rim, which is cool, but it's Giannis. So watching Cat just like throw it down and like having the defenders want no part of that in this past game and have him get a couple good pop-ups, pop-up shooting there, like it was nice to see him do that, but it was also, you know, a wake-up call to other guys that Towns is a more athletic freak than Nikola Jokic, and hopefully he can become just as good of a passer as Jokic. And I think that's the ceiling, and I think we're looking at Towns being an Anthony Davis-type player 2 years from now because they're only 2.5 years age difference. So if I'm Kemba Walker, if I'm Kyrie Irving, or let's just say Kyrie Irving in the situation, I definitely want to play with Karl Anthony Towns, and I don't think it's, you know, that far off to say that he would do something like that. I just think he wants to win a championship right now. So let's just say that Kyrie does win a chip this year in Boston. He wants to go elsewhere. I wouldn't take Minnesota off my list, even though that place isn't a preferred list of free agents, just because of Karl Anthony Towns. And I think that's how great Towns is. And I understand the New York hype with the Kevin Durant stuff, and that's most likely what's going to happen. But I love that idea. I went down more so the route of the possibility of a future star to play with Towns. And I don't really like this one per se, like let's say fit-wise, because it's kind of similar to what they already have. I've just noticed that this guy really doesn't fit too much with his organization, and there's been rumors of him wanting his own basketball team. And the first guy jumps out off the page that's a realistic sign that Minnesota could sign to a max if they made deals to send Wiggins and Teague elsewhere would be Ben Simmons. If Philadelphia decided that they wanted to move forward with Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and Joel Embiid and just kind of get more of a shooting point guard out there in Philadelphia, which Kemba Walker, that could be the other guy, really. If they wanted to move that route, that would be a good idea for them, especially if they really believe Joel Embiid is next, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, and he definitely could be if he stays healthy. I would love to see Minnesota just go all in on a Ben Simmons Cat duo here in Minnesota. I think that, and I'm really high on Ben Simmons, but I think that we're dealing with a point forward that hasn't found his 3-point shot yet, but that's also already has probably the second or third best vision in the NBA. And that's a lot for a 22-year-old. So I'm very high on Ben Simmons. I think it'd be a really interesting duo and pairing to pair those two guys up. They're super young. I think they could be really good for years to come. And he has wanted his own team for a long time. And I don't think Karl Anthony Towns has any problem with not saying it's his team, but kind of just giving the reins to Ben Simmons to kind of like let him be the LeBron that a lot of people think Simmons is going to be.
Yeah, and talk about a roster that he could sync with right away too. When you have Covington and Sarge on the same team as Ben Simmons joining up, I mean, I think that he can play with pretty much anybody because he is an all-star level player and he's super good. But that's just another level of familiarity that would help him get right into the action without missing too much of a beat or too much of a hitch there. But I think that when you're looking at just there's a lot of things Ben Simmons can do, but when you're looking at just the pure passing and playmaking ability, I actually think that him playing off Towns would work better than what he's doing with Joel Embiid, just because I think Towns, And now I think Joel Embiid is really, really good, but I think Towns,
better shooter,
is there's more of a willingness to play off ball more of the time than Joel Embiid. And I think that that helps Ben Simmons in the long run, because there's so much that you have to run through Joel Embiid for certain portions of games and certain chunks of the season. And I think that it just Towns' willingness to play off ball for a vast majority of the time is going to help. It would help Ben Simmons. And so that's a really interesting one. I like this one a lot. And we're going to take a break for some sponsors, because I have one more thing I wanted to cover with you. But first, some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky. We've been talking about tampering, and we've been talking about specifically Karl-Anthony Towns doing the tampering this time. And all this kind of has a point. I wanted to throw this past you, because all this has a point. Namely this, you already illustrated quite well talking about Kyrie Irving, how good Towns is and why guys should want to play with Towns anyways. Is this malpractice not only that the Timberwolves have set themselves up so that Towns can't really talk to these guys because they're in such a horrendous cap situation and in such a horrendous spot just this offseason to do anything about any conversations Towns have, first of all, and are they failing Towns by maybe not having to be aggressive at all? Maybe he's not even having these conversations, and maybe that's a huge mistake. Maybe the Timberwolves aren't saying, hey, when you're at the All-Star game, talk to players. Get guys to come here. Be the guy who's pulling people. Try and be influential at the All-Star game. Is there two varieties of stupidity happening from the Timberwolves to not only not set up Towns for this opportunity, but also – to not give him the confidence and maybe not give him the ropes, not tell him, hey, obviously you could probably pick this stuff. If your Towns being at a couple All-Star games, you could probably pick up what's happening anyways. But if you're the NBA team, if you're the front office, I would be pushing him in this direction as well. I would be pushing him to do this. But you're probably not even doing that because you probably can't, since you're in such a bad cap situation. How bad are the Timberwolves that not only do they flummox so many contracts, but they're not setting up a player that's as good as Towns to really maximize his impact on the league?
Well, there's a few things to break down there. I think there's probably two major things. The first thing being, Minnesota has to look at the New Orleans Pelicans and see what they have done and haven't done over the past few years. Because if the modern-day comp to with the ceiling of Towns is Anthony Davis, which I think we could both agree probably is 2 years from now. If that is the ceiling for Towns in 2 years is Anthony Davis, then they have to see what New Orleans did right over these past two seasons with Davis and what they've done wrong. And I think the best thing they've done is make people realize that New Orleans isn't necessarily on the bottom list of everyone's free agent destinations, which a lot of people thought. But Jrue Holiday, Nikola Mirotic, Julius Randle, Etuan Moore, those kind of pickups kind of solidified this team to be a contender in the Western Conference. And I think they're on the right track. And then trading for DeMarcus Cousins was huge, essentially trading a guy who a lot of people thought wasn't that great in Buddy Hield, which is like us trading for Josh Okogie next season, essentially. And I think that there is a possibility and a realm of possibility that a potential deal like that could be made for another good player and a smaller contract before he signs his max like Cousins. To pair next to Towns in two seasons, while still getting guys like Mirotic, Holiday, Moore, Randle. So if Minnesota kind of looks at that blueprint that's been created by New Orleans, I think there is a possibility where they could formulate a great basketball team in the Western Conference. However, the second part to this is that they do want Towns to be more aggressive. They do want Towns to ask free agents to come, and it is a fun conversation to see if Kemba Walker, Ben Simmons, or some of these guys can come play for the Timberwolves. But however, again, Andrew Wiggins is going to be the deciding factor, right? If Andrew Wiggins, and this is the most perplexing player in the NBA currently, because he's the most frustrating, as Doris Burke has put it, in the NBA. He has the potential of being a multiple-time All-Star, a guy that could be a top 10 scorer in the league. And it feels like all it should take for Andrew Wiggins to do this is just to try harder or be more aggressive. Like, those are the kind of things you hear a lot in terms of Andrew Wiggins. And if that's the case of the guy that's supposed to be on contract next to your superstar in Towns until 2023, that'll both be making the same amount of money in that year, $34 million, that's not a good look for Andrew Wiggins. And as much as I want him to hit that you know, that mold that we've all tried to fit him into as a potential LeBron or potential Kobe as a shooter, he's just not showing any signs, Colton. There's zero signs. And even the games that he's really came up clutch this season, I could point to games of bench players in the Chicago Bulls having 40-point games, right? Like, there are no signs right now of Andrew Wiggins becoming the star that we all thought he was going to be. He's been an average to above average basketball player in the NBA this season, and he happens to be on a max contract. And that's like no shot at him from being a future all-star. That's more of a shot at this organization for deciding to do that when they did and that sign to the max, because now they've put this team in a situation where they can't even be the Pelicans, Colton. Contractually, they can't afford it. They can't even be the Pelicans that the Pelicans team had last year. And that's really sad, because on a team that is on the bottom of a lot of guys' free agent list, you're not going to have a lot of pull in the summer. So it's just a really unfortunate situation for those two. So it almost feels like it's out of Cat's hands, ultimately.
Are you saying that a 40-point game is not impressive as it used to be in this era when it's really hard to score points and the rules do not favor scoring at all for especially guards? This is ridiculous.
This is a defensive league. This is a defensive league.
Yeah, I think you're right. And ultimately, when you're really looking at this team objectively and you're saying that they probably can't beat what the Pelicans put together, that's pretty rough. Just because we all know the struggles that the Pelicans have had, and you hope when you have a caliber talent like Towns that you can try and be better around him, but it's going to be tough with this cap situation. And really, the whole point of this podcast is to show that there should be a discussion around who Towns can pull from the All-Star game and who Towns can pull in free agency. And there's just not, because the front office of the Timberwolves doesn't do a good job putting together salary cap, but also doesn't do a good job just staying in trade conversations for a bunch of these guys and staying aggressive for a bunch of these guys. They're never really a serious contender for any big trades. And if you look at last summer, it's not hard to tell with the way they just played around with teams and didn't take teams seriously or weren't able to be taken seriously by other teams. And with the way they just handle their business, it's not a team that other players want to go to for so many reasons, which is tough, because if you want Towns to stay around throughout the entirety of his contract and not to pull an Anthony Davis and request a trade, I think you just got to be better. And I think that if you want to be successful around Towns, you got to be better. And so this podcast illustrates why there should be more conversations about the Timberwolves with Towns and like the opportunities that there are. I mean, there are free agents on this team that Towns is talking to that actually would be great fits with the Timberwolves, and they're just not happening. We didn't even talk about Klay Thompson, and that's another guy that would be a perfect fit. Not happening. And so it's a little sad podcast, but we also had some fun with it, I think.
Well, let me end on a positive note from my side, because I do get too pessimistic on this podcast. That's just me, Colton, and I don't know what's wrong with me, but that's just me, pessimistic Trey. So if I'm looking at this roster, okay, and I'm looking at the ceilings of these guys, let's say that they never really hit it, but let's say they come like 75% of their ceilings. Let's just say in 2020, we have all these guys on contract in this starting lineup, and we've talked about this in the past. You have a 24-year-old Tyus Jones. You have a 26-year-old, you have a 25-year-old Andrew Wiggins. You have a 30-year-old in his prime Robert Covington. You have a 25, 26-year-old Dario Saric. And then you have a 25-year-old or 24-year-old Karl Anthony Towns. You have a really good starting, solid lineup, essentially led on the defensive end by Robert Covington and his defensive IQ, especially at that age in his prime. And then you are led by Karl Anthony Towns, who's fully in his, I won't say prime, I'll say close to his prime at that age of 24, leading to 25, a lot like Anthony Davis right now. And then you have Andrew Wiggins. Let's say he goes back to his 2016 year, and he's scoring like 22 points a game. Like, that's the goal. Like, Andrew Wiggins scoring 30 points a game is not the goal anymore. It's him getting back to that 22, shooting 45% from the field. Like, we're looking like for a taller CJ McCollum at this point, and that's fine. And if Minnesota can kind of get there and kind of get Tyus Jones on the starting point guard track, let Dario Saric have more playmaking abilities in the starting lineup, let Robert Covington handle the defensive issues, give Andrew Wiggins his shooting, but don't give him the high volume that he's gotten, and let Towns make this his basketball team. There is a realm of possibility, and I'll say it again, that the Golden State Warriors break up. The Lakers aren't even good. I'm not even going to go there with LeBron. So I don't even think they get a huge free agent this summer. I don't think they're good. And you're looking at other basketball teams on this list, and it's essentially Denver. And I think Houston will break up soon because Chris Paul's old as hell. And then Denver is really, really good. So they'll stay together probably. So they're probably the number one seed over the next 3 or 4 years if Golden State breaks up and Kevin Durant leaves. So Minnesota does have a chance, and especially with San Antonio now falling out, you pretty much have to be worried about the Sacramento Kings. You got to be worried about the Dallas Mavericks. And I also think you have to be worried about the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think there is a situation here, Colton, where by 2020, we're looking at a really good, youthful starting lineup, starting five, with the only old guy being Robert Covington, who plays like a 25-year-old and not a 30-year-old because of the years he's had in the D&G League. So this is a good roster. And it really, all that matters is who they can afford to put on the bench. And it's going to be through the draft. So what Minnesota has to do, if they don't want to fight to put superstar talent next to Towns at the moment, they got to hold on to their draft picks, draft young guys like Josh Okogie, who will be on the bench at that starting five that I noted. And you can just surround this team with currently talented, a bunch of young guys and a couple solid vets, and just move forward with that and hope that you're better than the Pelicans are now, and hope that this Western Conference is not as dominated as it is now by the dynasty that is the Golden State Warriors.
That's something we can all hope for and hope to look forward to for the Timberwolves and for the Western Conference in general. That's it for us. We're going to be back with more content tomorrow, more fun all-star content tomorrow as the break continues. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.